going to do. Last time we focused on Yaakov.
Did we? Yaakov and the Brachot and Yaakov and Esav and his neder and the whole thing. Leaving, coming back. Today we're going to focus on Yosef. We talked about his dreams a little bit, but today we'll start with the story of Yosef being sold and how that affects the whole, you know, what Yosef's up to. So I want to pick up this. Everyone knows about Yosef's dreams. We talked about that a little bit with N equals 4, with the, you know, was he dreaming Bechira or Bechora? Can we discuss that a little bit?
Yeah.
We'll return to that at the end. What I want to pick today is the topic of why the brothers sold Yosef.
N equals 4.
What?
We left off N equals 3.
It ends up, but we brought the possibility. The dream was thinking N equals 4.
Ah,
that was
right.
The Havamina.
Yeah.
That's why they sold him. Because they thought, people thought you could intervene. No, it's, you can intervene in the process. That's like really warm. Alrighty. So let's begin. I want to begin with Sheni and Parshat Vayeshev. And before we start, I need to draw a map of Israel.
I understand where we are. Understand the map?
Yeah.
Here's Jerusalem.
Okay.
Hebron is here. Understand? Beit El is here. Shem is here. Sultan is here. This is Mount Carmel.
Right.
And this is the mountain range. Here's Beersheba. This pretty much is the long big mountain range. It's the heart of Israel. Okay? Where's Yaakov and his family living? In what city?
Look at the first 2-3 psukim and tell me where Yaakov's living. Starting in Sheni. Everyone have a chumash? You guys need? Anyone need a real one? It's be better off with this guy. No, where are they living? No, look. Where's the beginning? Perek Lamed Zion. Lamed Zion. Why would you say Hebron?
Because that's where they're...
Take a look. Yeah, look. No, look in Pasek Yudbet. The brothers went, Yosef's brothers, after the story, went to take care of the sheep in Shechem. But Vayomer Yisrael Yosef, Alo Achecha Rim B'Shechem, Luchu V'Shecha Alehem, Vayomer Li Hineni, Vayomer Li Nechure Shalom Achecha Shalom Atzom, Vayashivin Yudavar, Vayishlecheu, from where? Neimech Hebron, Vivo Shechema.
Yaakov and his family are living in Hebron, down here. And the brothers decided to go to Shechem, and that's where washing the sheep. Do they come home every night? How far is it from here to Shechem, from Hebron to Shechem? From Hebron to Yerushalayim, it's a good, it's about an hour ride. It's a good day's walk. And from Yerushalayim to Shechem is another day or two's walk. And we're going with sheep. If you're watching your sheep and herds, that you don't walk so fast. So with regular walking, it's 2 or 3 days. It's not the safest trip even today. Oh. How often do they come home? If they're watching the sheep in Shechem, how often are they coming? Are they coming home every night? At best for Shabbos. Most likely maybe once a month or so. But they're gone for a long time. That's important to understand in the story. It's not a family that comes back from work at the end of the day and coming back to Hebron to the father. Understand? So Yaakov goes to Shechem. Who's reading? Someone read. Who's reading? Read. Somebody?
Who's not reading?
Start from Pasuk Tevav.
Okay. Okay,
so he bumps into somebody, and Yosef looks lost, and the guy says, "Hey, you look a little lost, mister. What are you looking for?" And what's he tell him? "I'm looking for my brothers." Like the Medrash is built into the Pasuk. Hala? I'm looking for my brothers. Where are they? Dotan nowadays is called Jenin. You've heard of Jenin? Mm-hmm. You ever see the Jenin? That's Dotan. How do we know? We know. It's Emek Dotan. It's right there. There's a big Emek called Emek Dotan. The Arab name is the same. Just like, how do we know Hebron's Hebron? It's kind of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Jenin is still down. I mean, they're even farther north. They're over here. And I should mention here, this is the Gilan. This is the Golan. Mrs. Harim Moab. These are not dimensions. Here. Already?
Wait, where is Dothan?
Dothan is over here. This is Dothan. Over here, almost at the end of the mountain range. The mountain range ends here. And this is this area here, this is the Galil. And there's a big valley here called Hemet Yisrael. I'll put that in a minute. You've heard of the Jezreel Valley, Hemet Yisrael?
Yeah. The reason I'm doing the map is if you don't understand the geography, you can't begin to appreciate what happens in the story. This is the story. It's one of the stories in Chumash. If you don't know your geography, you won't have what's going on. Once you see the geography, you'll see how cool it is. We'll turn to geography soon. Let's pick up the story now with Pasuk Yuchet.
The brothers seem coming from a distance,
and before he even got close to them, what did they decide to do?
Kill him.
They decided, let's kill the guy. Wait, that's what that means? They plotted to kill him.
Now let's see why they want to plot to kill him. One more line. What's the plan?
What's their motivation? They're not some murderers, they're doing it to change their mind. What are they worried about? What did they say they're worried about? He's dreaming. What's he dreaming about?
They're going to kill them.
No, he's dreaming about, he's a Bechor. But they know he can't be the Bechor because, they think he's the only, they think that he thinks that he's the chosen son. But he's another Esav. Didn't Yaakov use trickery to get the Bechorah from Esav? To buy it? And didn't Rivka use trickery? And I can understand why the father's making, you know, is blinded by his favorite son because he liked Rachel. But it's clear to the brothers that Yosef, you know, shouldn't be there. And they're helping the Ashkacha process along by getting rid of the brother. Understand what I'm getting at? Their desire to kill him stems from their understanding of the dream, which they understand that only one of the mothers is chosen, maybe only one of the kids, but it can't be Yosef. So they want to get rid of him. Okay? So that's the plan. Now, how do they plan on killing him? This is important. What's the plan?
This is the brother's plan.
Throw him into this?
No. That's not how they plan to kill him. Read carefully. How do they plan to kill him?
Kill him and then throw him.
And then throw him in a pit. How are they going to kill him? What type of murder is that called? That's first degree.
They'll commit first degree murder. They'll beat him up, they'll strangle him, they'll kick his head, whatever they'll do. It's a first degree murder. And then throw the body in the pit. What's the logic of throwing the body in the pit?
No, we'll find it.
The goal is so no one should find the body. Why don't they want anyone to find the body?
So what he's saying. The alibi is that
if they came home with a dead body, what would happen? If they came walking home with the dead body of Joseph, what would the father think? Why would he think that? There's circumstantial evidence, number one. And is there motive?
Well, they know.
There's motive, there's evidence. That's Aleph Beta Benny detective show. Therefore, what's their plan? If they hide the body, what are they going to do? What are they going to do when they get home? Are they coming home the next day?
No.
Remember, they come home maybe once a month or so. What will happen when they come home? What are they going to say? They won't say anything. Of course they won't say anything. Who's going to speak first?
Yaakov.
And what's Yaakov going to say? And what are they going to say? Yosef. Did you see Yosef? You follow? They'll collaborate to their side of Yosef. And then what conclusion is the father going to reach? Or what are they all going to reach? And when they say he's gone, what must have happened? An animal must have eaten him because it's not so safe walking from Hebron to Shrem. And who's going to take the blame for the murder? You understand what they're doing? Not only are they going to hide the evidence and cover them, they want to make the father feel guilty. It's his fault. For sending him. Because he sent a 17-year-old kid all by himself to find it. That's the brother's plan. Understand? Next plan? No, that's what they're talking about. They don't actually do that, but that's the first plan. Next plan. Continue. Vayishma Ruvain.
Vayishma Ruvain.
That's the narrator of Chumash talking. It's because why is that the narrator of Chumash talking? Has Yosef arrived yet?
No.
Yosef hasn't arrived yet. Now they're just plotting. So the brothers agree, let's kill the guy. Let's kill him, throw him in the pit. Reuven has a plan. What's behind his plan? From what we'll read it inside a minute, but what's his plan going to be? You don't want to save him, but how is he going to save him? Is he going to say, let me save him? What impression does he want to give the brothers?
He's part of it.
He also wants him
dead, but he's going to offer what?
Second.
A different way to kill him. Understand? You're not going to strangle the guy. That's why it's before, how are they going to plan on killing him? So now listen to Reuven's plan. And tell me when Reuven finishes talking to the brothers and when Chumash takes over.
Yes.
Pasach Chaf Aleph. Vishma Reuven. What's that mean? Let's not commit first degree murder. Instead, Vayomer Lehem.
Vayomer Lehem Reuven. Al tishpichu dam. Hashlichu oto el habor hazeh. Asher b'midbar. V'yad al tashlichu bo. L'man hitzil oto miyadam. V'hashivu el
Aviv. Okay. What's his official plan? Throw him in what pit? What type of pit is he throwing him in? Is it any old pit? The brother's first plan was to throw him in a pit to hide the evidence. What's the goal of this pit now? Reuven's son had a specific pit in the desert. A known one.
Habor.
Yeah. It is Habor Hazeh Asher b'Midbar. And what's going to be the function now of the pit?
To kill him.
And how is he going to die in the pit? What?
Starvation.
By starvation. Now, if there's water in the pit, could he survive?
For a while.
Yeah. And if there's water in the pit, are other people going to be coming to the pit?
Probably
to get water. Therefore, what type of pit do we need? Now we know why it says Laborek in Bomai. Got it? It's an empty pit with no water in it, and therefore he can survive there maybe a day, 2 days, and that's it. And no one else is going to come by, most likely. Reuven says, I have a perfect pit, and therefore Reuven's official plan is, this is the problem. Reuven, the official plan is, second degree murder, okay. Using the pit, understand? Not pit to hide the evidence, but by putting him in a pit. And what's his real plan? What's his real plan? To come back and save him. Now, how is he going to do? What's his real plan based on? What's going to happen after they throw him in the pit? He'll come back later. When's he going to come back? Then when they all leave. Why would they all leave? Not back home, back to the sheep. Yeah. They're not living in the Midbar, they're living in Dothan. The Midbar is over here. All along the eastern, have you ever been in Jerusalem and looked towards the east, towards Mount Edomim? To the east of this mountain range, all through Israel, to Midbar, so Midbar Yehuda. Because it rains up until here, when it does rain, and when you get over the top of the mountain range, it stops raining. It doesn't pick up rain again until you get to the mountain range over here. That's why it becomes so dry. But the Midbar is a wilderness where you graze your sheep. Not enough water to graze your sheep and not to grow trees. So they say, I have a certain fit over here in the desert, maybe over here somewhere, maybe 2-3 kilometer walk. Let's throw him in that pit there, he'll die. His real plan is later in the day or the next day, he'll go back and get him and save him. Now, what's Reuven going to gain by this? Yosef will run away home. Reuven's going to save him, he's going to run away home. Yosef's going to come home and tell tattletale. Has he ever tattletale before? That's how he makes his living, isn't it? What's Reuven going to? What's Yosef going to tell his father? Guess what the brothers did to me? What? They tried to kill them. They threw me in the pit. And who saved you? Reuven. What's Reuven have to gain? Did he lose it? Remember he lost it before when he moved around the bed things. So Reuven has what the gain was in the family, no? Also. Understand? I mean, maybe he also cared about his life, but he has what the gain. I'm trying to find why Reuven's behind this. It could be he's a good guy, but that really happened. I mean, among the brothers. Yeah, now the other thing is because he's the oldest, he's going to have to take responsibility. Now, either way, he's going to get the blame for this.
It sounded like what Rashi said in the Medrash, and the Gemara said about that Reuven was named that because he was different than Esav, because the Bechor was taken from him, but he's still...
He's not that bad. He's not an evil guy. He's just not as...
Well, it sounds like he's better than Esav.
Better than Esav, but he's still not... But he's not Yehuda. But remember, Reuven has the official plan and his real plan is to come back and save him. Has Yosef arrived yet?
I see him.
No, they've seen him, but he hasn't arrived yet. Now he's going to arrive. And what plan should they do? They're supposed to be Reuven's plan. So let's see what happens. You have to stay awake now. Now it gets cool.
So, what can I?
This is fun because everyone knows the story.
Yeah.
But watch what's going to happen.
Yashar ba Yosef and Achav, Yashitu et Yosef et Akshimato, Tonot Pasim, Asher Alav.
Okay, they take, and they took off his coat. Why did they take off his coat?
Didn't they bring him back?
Was that they didn't say that in the beginning.
No.
Why do you think they take off his coat? Because that's a symbol. That's a symbol of what they hate about him. There's nothing symbolic about taking off his coat.
That's also the plan in the end.
Yeah, they didn't mention that. Yeah. But why wasn't that part of the original plan?
Because
they're not. If they come back with this stained coat, remember, that's as good as come back with a dead body. You understand? It's still incriminating evidence. Why would they come back with this thin coat? No. Continue. Now it makes sense why it says that? It's not just time of, I mean. No? And what's Rashi even better? But what is there? And therefore, even it's, not only he's going to die of without water, he's also going to die from being bitten. It's coming to explain what's behind Reuven's plan. No, this is what's called a bor kedei lahanis. You know what that is? You ever heard of Messiah? No bor? It's a bor kedei lahanis. No, it's a bor they can kill. Hala.
How is he going to plan on keeping him alive if the bor is going?
That's why Chumash doesn't say that. That's why Rashi said. What?
Did you know that?
No, so Rashi is saying that even though you should know it was a dangerous pit, and thanks to God, he was saved. Maybe Reuven didn't know about him. Maybe Reuven didn't know Rashi. You understand what I'm getting at? Yeah. Reuven's plan would not, according to Reuven's plan, he would not want to put him in a boar that has nechashim. Correct? Because he wants to go back and save him. Now, Rashi wants to emphasize the midrash that emphasizes how the hand of God is behind all this. That even though there's nechashim in the boar, he was saved in him.
He
knew this bit, yeah. I'm saying, and Pshat, you're right. Rashi coming to add something, but he's coming to add something thematic in depth, but not definitely. Shutosh Mikra, it's just no water. But there's got to be something that he could survive for a while. Because otherwise Reuven's plan wouldn't make sense. Reuven knows exactly what pit to throw him in. Okay. Wait, stop. They sit down to eat. Who sits down to eat?
The brothers.
Suda's mitzvah, right? You just got rid of the worst son. Right, they're sitting down to eat. And then what happens, then they lift up their eyes. Now, before we read on, there's a detail missing in the text that we have to assume. No, before we get to that. What's the detail? The brothers are sitting down to eat. I'm going to draw a big pit here. Here's a big pit. And these are the brothers. Okay? The brothers are, again, these are the brothers. Now, either the brothers are sitting near the pit, or the brothers are sitting far away from the pit. You understand the two possibilities? They threw Yosef in the pit, and they sit down to eat. They could either be sitting down to eat near the pit, keeping an eye on Yosef. Got it? Or they could go back to where they were before, in Dothan, and sit down to eat wherever they eat, or farther away. Understand the two possibilities? Now let's read it according to the first line. What makes more sense? Why would it make sense to be eaten by the pit? What's the logic of eating by the pit?
To watch over and taunt him to...
There's no logic.
Yeah. Does that fit into Reuven's plan?
No.
Yeah. No, Reuven's plan is not based on the assumption that they're going to stay by the pit. They're not going to stay by the pit waiting for the guy to die. No, sooner or later, they have to go, according to Reuven's plan, sooner or later they have to leave.
Hopefully before he dies.
What?
Hopefully before he dies.
Yeah. That's how Reuven's plan. Now, is he screaming in the pit?
Yeah.
He says so. They say later on. Remember? They said, remember we heard the screaming and he didn't. Of course he's screaming. Why wouldn't he scream? We'll prove later he's screaming. And therefore it's being a little uncomfortable. How can he sing mirrors with the kid screaming in the back? So that's good stuff. Got it? Now, but it could be just in that pit, but it's also logic they're sitting away from the pit. So let's read it each way. We'll start the story that they're sitting by the pit. Okay? They sit down. Vaisu enehem vayuru. This is the Gila. See the Gila over here? This is the Golan. There's an ancient highway that connected two civilizations, Egypt down here and Mesopotamia out there. Those two centers of civilization have a highway that connects them. It's called the Via Maris, the way of the sea.
And that's what makes Eretz Canaan so popular. In order to go from Egypt to Mesopotamia, the best way to go is through Israel. Not through the mountain range, because that's, you know, up and down. When you drive on highway, you want a nice straight road. What's a straight road? You go along the coastal plain, and then you cut through, it's called Badi Ara, and you go past the Hula over here. This Emek here is called Emek Israel. You heard of that? Emek Israel. This is a Hula Har Tabor is over here. And when you get here, you can either go this way to Beit Shan to the Gilad, or this way to the Golan, past Har Tabor. Understand? They're sitting over here in Dothan, at the born Dothan, and lift up their eyes. What do they see? They see a caravan. I'm drawing the route. You know the musical? They see a caravan of Harry Ishmaelites. Remember that?
But they're caravanners. What do these people do for a living? These Ishmaelim? Orcha is a caravan. They're FedEx. You see why I'm calling them FedEx. They're shippers, they're international shippers. They take goods from the Gilad. The Gilad is a mountainous area. They grow spices and like the whole list of things there. Things that don't grow in Egypt. If you ever go into business, you've heard of supply and demand? There's a supply of goods in the Gilad that does not grow in Egypt. But there's more people who want to buy it in Egypt than there are people who want to buy it in the Gilad. So what do people do? You grow, what does the shipping company do? They take goods from merchants in the Gilad and Canaan, and they sell it down in Egypt. And they bring the thing back. So people bring in their goods, and they give them the money for them. They take it and sell it for profit in Egypt and bring it back. Got it? So far, so good? So they lift up and they see, they're sitting over here, and they see in the distance this caravan of Ishmael coming down all the way down to Egypt. Now, for this caravan is not going to pass them, they're in Dothan. But they're going to pass about a 20-minute walk to the north. What would they need to do? And now let's see what they say. Notice Yehuda's plan. How each time it's the same. What's the main goal of the brothers? The brothers want to get rid of Yosef. That's agreed. The simplest way to get rid of somebody is to kill him. But do they want to kill him? They don't want to kill the kid. They say that. They don't want to kill him, but the problem is, he has to get rid of him. But the best way to get rid of him is to kill somebody or let him die. But if there was some way to get rid of him without killing him, that would be great. And what's going to come up with a great idea? What's his chav? Ah, what's up? We can get rid of him without what? Without killing him. How can we get rid of him?
Give him to them.
Sell him to them. And that's so far. I can't sell him in Canaan because in Canaan he can run away. I can't sell him as an Eved in Canaan. It's not going to work. But if I sell him so far down in Egypt, we'll never get out of there. And therefore, now that there's a caravan going down to Egypt, we can get rid of it. Great chav? Do the brothers buy the plan? How do we know? By Shmuel chav. So what do the brothers need to do now?
Take him out of the pit.
Take him out of the pit and sell him and bring him to the Ishmaelim. 15-20 minute walk down. Meet the caravan. And what are they going to do when they come home? I mean, the same plan they had before. They'll say, they'll play stupid. Okay? What if you were Reuben, what would you do? If you heard Yehuda's plan?
So you want to kill him?
You would say bad. You say no, bad idea. But what logic would there be? What logic could you say? Why would it be a bad plan?
Because then he's going to be lost.
What?
And Reuben's not going to
kill him. I mean, if Reuben starts saying, you know, let's let him die better in the pit, what are they going to start wondering about?
I want to kill him.
Yeah, no, what's his real motive? Maybe this guy's not one of us or not. So if you were Reuben, what would you do? If the brothers all decided, let's sell him.
Try to get him out of
what?
The pit. Also just not be there.
Oh, so if the brothers are by the pit, does Reuben do anything to stop the sale? No. He doesn't. He lets it happen. Why does he do something? Obviously, he's not there. So where did Chazal say? Where was he? Rashi brings two reasons. It was his turn to take care of his father, which if you know geography, can't be shot. Because if it's his turn to live with his father, it's going to take 2-3 days to get there and another day to get back. His plan will never work if he's going to live with his father. But that only makes sense if it's, you know, short nearby. The other Pirush Rashi brings down is that he was fasting. What was he fasting about? About his sin with Bilal. Remember about moving the beds around. And that's why he's fasting. So when they were eating, he went away to, you know, to go to the mikvah or something, or extra time, you know.
Couldn't that have been his time in the first place? If he was going back to learn with his father, that's how he would have gotten Yosef away.
But then he wouldn't have left them. He wouldn't have been there yet. Yeah. He wouldn't have left, and yeah. Or it could be he started going, he's going to come back later at night or something like that. Okay, that could be also. I'm saying it's not impossible, but it doesn't fit in the pshat. You're right. It could be. Now, if he's with his brothers, right? It just doesn't make sense, right? So he must have gone somewhere. Let's continue reading. Socharim. Who passes by now? Midianite merchants. That's Amazon. As opposed to FedEx. You ever buy something online? Amazon is the merchant, and FedEx is the shipper. So why are there Anashim Midianim passing by? Where are they on the way to? Midianim or Sochrim, those are peddlers. They have goods. They're on their way to meet the caravan. Why? Because they have goods to sell. So it just so happens, a group of Midianim come by, merchants, and what do they do? Dovrashim Midianim, Sochrim, and what do they do? Vayim Shechu.
Value at Yosef min habor, v'imkuru at Yosef la'ish me'elim, be'esrim chazet, v'aviyu at Yosef mitzrayim.
In other words, if the brothers are by the pit, what do? They told the Ishmaelim, here, take 20 shekel, or give us 20 shekel, and we'll give you our brother. And then they pull him out of the pit, and the brothers give him to the Midianim, and the Midianim bring him down to the caravan, to the Ishmaelim. Got that?
Wait, how are the Midianim involved?
The Midianim, someone's got to bring Yosef to the caravan. It's a half hour walk.
Why couldn't they do it?
They could have, but it just so happened that a group of Midianim came by, who were on the way to the caravan anyhow, said, listen, you take him in. Give us 20 shekel, you take him in. Discount rate. Let's include, you know, we'll cover the shipping. It saves them having to bring him down there. Okay? Also, it's easier to have someone else do the dirty work. But clearly, Reuven's not there. Because what happens next?
We have Reuven and Labor.
That's right. And Yosef's not there. Why is he ripping his clothes? It's Tain's room. And who are they going to blame? They blame him. Right? Continue. Yashav Elachav. What's wrong with that? Yashav Elachav?
She was with her.
If he was with his brothers, what do you mean he went back to his brothers? If his brothers were there. Something strange. Reuven comes to the pit and he comes back to his brothers. Okay. And what's he do? And what's he tell the brothers? He's not there. And what's going to be with me? Now, what did the brothers answer him? Did they say we sold him? The brothers don't answer him, do they? So the story's a little stranger. Why did Reuven disappear? Why would Reuven go against his plan? Right. What are the Midianim doing in this story? Why is it so important in this story? What they gain from them? And why don't the brothers tell them they sold them? Let's read the story now with the other assumption. The what? Did the brothers are not eating by the pit? Were they eating? Away from the pit. Okay? Which you guys said makes more sense in the first place. It's more logical. If it's in Reuven's plan. If the brothers are eating together, is Reuven with them? There's no reason why he wouldn't be with them if he's not by the pit. So let's read it now the other way. And Yudah lifts up his eyes and he sees, you know, this thing. So why should we kill him? Let's sell him to the Ishmaelim. Yep. If Reuven is with the brothers and they're far away from the pit, what should Reuven do now?
Run to the pit and try to get around.
What should Reuven volunteer to do?
Go get Yosef.
I'll go take him to sell, right? And what will he really do?
Let him
go free. And say he ran away or something like that. He can cover him. That shouldn't be a problem. Got it? That would be the logical thing for Reuven to do. Would be great idea, guys. I volunteer because he knows where the board is. Anyhow, remember, since his it was his idea in the first place. Reuven should volunteer and go to the pit and save him. So Reuven should go to the pit first before the brothers, right? Is that what happens? Take a look. They say, "Let's go sell him." Okay, let's go sell him to the Ishmaelim, and the brothers listen. Pasach Chafet. When did that happen? Now everything makes sense. When the brothers are sitting down for the Sudat Mitzvah and deciding, let's sell him, who just happens to pass by? But the straw hat. It just so happened that a group of merchants, the midnight merchants, happen to pass by. Why are they passing by? Because they're on the way to meet the caravan. And what do they hear? They must hear a kid screaming. And if they hear a kid screaming, what do they know? There's someone alive down there, and what can we do? Make a quick buck. And what did the Midianim do? Bayim Shechu. Who's Moshe?
They are.
What? The topic sense is the Midianim. Bayluk Yosef bin Abor, the Midianim. Bayimkut Yosef Lishmin, Besim Kasef.
Now with the consent of the brothers?
What brothers? The brothers are eating Shalom.
So they did a better job.
Yeah, just so, as the brothers are planning to sell him, what just so happened?
So the brother gets sold.
That's the whole point. Okay. That's what's so cool about it. We'll see in a minute. Changes the whole story, but it's awesome. I'll show you later. You look up later in Rashbam and Chizkuni. I'm just adding the geography to it. And you see which way makes more sense. Okay? It just so happened. Now, every single detail in the Pesukim makes sense now. While the brothers are sitting down to eat, they said, let's sell them. And it just so happens, at the same time, a group of Midian merchants pass by. They pull Yosef out of the board. They sell him to the Ishmaelim for 20 kesef. And the Ishmaelim take him down to Egypt. In the meantime, what happens? Reuven volunteers to go to the pit. And therefore, look at the next line. Vayashav Reuven al habor. What's that mean? Why did Reuven go back to the pit? To do what?
To go sell him,
unofficially,
to save him.
And what happens?
Be in
Yosef Babor. Why?
Because
they took him. Okay. But what does Reuven think? He doesn't know what to think, right? But what does he know?
Nothing good.
Right? Now, let's say he got home. Let's say he got away and got home. What will happen?
And he'll be fine.
He'll be in trouble.
Why? You're also going to go home and tell him, look what my brother said to me. And okay, whose idea was it? Strike two. He's really finished. If he doesn't get back home, let's say, then maybe, who knows what happened? Maybe an animal. They have no idea what happened. Therefore, what's he do next? Vayashav elachav. What's that mean? He went to the pit to sell him, or to officially sell him or save him. And basically, there. And what's he tell his brothers? Hayela de Neno. You follow? What do they answer? Why don't they answer? They don't know either. And through the whole story, they'll never say he was sold. What do they always say? When they're being interrogated later in Egypt, aren't they? Yosef interrogates them, and you can get the truth. When you have 10 people, and you accuse them of being spies, and you interrogate them, that's what Yosef does. He doesn't interrogate them all as a group. He separates them, remember? You can't tell a lie when you're being interrogated. Especially, you're being interrogated to see if you're spies or not. And you say, what's your cover story? We're brothers. So you can ask lots of details about the brothers, and they have to tell the truth. What do they tell Yosef? Echad eneno. One's by the father, the other one's missing. We have no idea where he is. Because they have no idea where he is. What do they assume? Probably must be beaten up by an animal. Because it's something that could happen. It's a logical conclusion. Because animals get into these pits, and they're hungry. You follow? Now the brothers are all messed up. Now what are they going to do when they go home? He might be home, they don't know. But if they go home, right, and it comes out that tell him he's missing, what's the father going to do? Say, go look for him. The worst thing, if you know psychology, if there's a missing person, the worst thing for the father is not to know. Someone missing in action, or someone missing like a lost person, or a kidnapped person. If you don't have a body, there's no closure. And people can't live continuing their lives, and therefore you need closure. What do they want to do? Now they need to make up a story, so at least the father thinks he's dead. Now, can they bring home? So what's their idea? They have a great idea. They take the coat that they took off, and now they dip it in blood. Can they bring it home? What? They can't bring it home. If they bring it home, what will happen?
They're just as guilty as the rest
of them. That's the same problem. They have somebody else. They shalchu at Kilonet Abasim. What's that mean? They sent it with somebody. They got somebody. Hired somebody. They sent it to Hebron. And this guy in Hebron starts knocking door to door. And says, hey, Mr. Schwartz, Mr. Jacob, Mr. This. Do you follow? What? And says, do you recognize this coat? We found it. So far, by Shachut Tamtasim, by Abiyu Avihim, the Shechim brought it to the father. The Amruz Zot Matzanu, Haker Naftonet Bincha Himlo. That can't be the brothers. Do you recognize the coat? Everyone knows whose coat it is. But they said the father, they bring it to Yaakov, And they knock on Yaakov's door and say, do you recognize this coat? It belongs to your kid.
But also
it
says,
Vayishtachu. They sent it. The same people sent it. The same people.
Read for that.
Turned Pincha, this is your son, it's not our brothers.
The verb Vayishtachu is for sure the brothers, right?
No, yeah, Vayishtachu is there.
So wouldn't it follow the rest of the version that are also the brothers?
It could be, the next one could be on the object of who sent it with. If he said they sent it, whoever sent it brought it. Whoever sent it, but it can go either way. But I think it makes more sense that they sent it. And then it may think, because what happened? What does Yaakov think? No. Well, he says what he thinks.
On the way.
He says, I recognize it. What's he saying? The same thing they were going to say, he said on his own. That was sort of the original plan, but now backfires on them. But it doesn't help. Why? Because he doesn't get over it, does he? Because he thinks, you know, his whole plan was Yosef to be the chosen son, and that was going to be, I mean, so now he's broken the rest of his life. Now we have real drama. You follow?
He also has no body.
What?
He also has no real body.
Yeah, no, but, and he's always still, there's always still this bit of doubt. And he's going to blame himself for the whole thing. That's why he doesn't build his house for God. His life is broken. His whole dreams have fallen apart. Everything. His dream, everything.
He doesn't buy that Yosef was killed.
He sees it, but he can't buy the fact that Yosef is gone. Because that was his understanding of the Bechira process, that Yosef was the chosen one. Yosef and Benjamin. Because Rachel was his wife. No one caught the dreams yet. About all 12 were chosen. And Yosef thinks maybe he's not chosen. Maybe the whole... Remember, he doesn't know. It's not over yet, so... God promised. Maybe he says, Katonti Mikol HaChasadim. Remember that this morning? Or yesterday morning? He's always worried. Maybe he did something wrong. And his kids have been terrible anyhow, haven't they been? Maybe he failed. No. The problem is, the only problem that what I just told you, Rashbam brings it down in Chizkuni. I added to Rashbam Chizkuni the geography to explain the Sfara. The problem is, what does Yosef think? When Yosef tells my brothers, and Yosef Achichem, what's he say? Hashem Achartem Otim Yitzrano. Which means, say, Yosef, I'm Yosef, your brother, who you sold to Egypt. So what does it seem like? The brother, that's why everyone holds, the brother stole him. That's the regular, that's Shittat Rashi and everybody else. That's a classic Shittat. So Chizkuni deals with that. What's he say? He says, what's Yosef saying? Yosef says, I'm Yosef, who you caused to be, you know, because of you caused me to be sold to Egypt. But not that you sold me, but you caused me to be sold. The way Yosef sees it, you ever like your little brother in the bathroom? You ever heard of that? You have a little sibling, you're sick of him, you lock him in the bathroom, you tease him. Did Yosef know they wanted to kill him? What's Yosef know? They threw him in the pit. What was he figuring? They'd come back and get him. Right? They're teasing the brother. Okay, they're not going to let me die here. That's the more logical thing to do, to think. Yosef knows the brothers don't like him. They don't see him. They take off his coat, throw him in the pit, ha. Go suffer for a half hour. And then go home. And don't come check on us again. It's classic between brothers. He thinks they're going to kill him or let him die there. They'd come back and get him. But what happened in the meantime? In the meantime, these Midianim came and stole him. In fact, that's what he tells in the Sar Mashkim and Sar Ophim. Remember what he tells him? He ganub gunafti me'er saivrim. He says to the butler and the baker, I was stolen. Remember? So remember me. I don't belong here in jail. Remember he says that? He ganub gunafti me'er saivrim. And I didn't do anything wrong. Saying, I get this bad luck, it's time, you know, help me out a little bit here. So it could be that's what Yosef said. Now, that's one thing. The other thing you might say is that Yosef might think that the brothers are behind the sale. Because maybe they told him he didn't need to go take it out. He thought the brothers were behind it and didn't realize they didn't know. But that's what sets up such great. That's why the brothers have no idea about Yosef at all. Because had they really known that Yosef was sold, they would have gone to Egypt to look for him. They would have found out or something like that. But that's what Yosef... So that's the... At least it's such good drama in the story. And that's why they're so aghast when he's actually... That's why they have no havamin that he's around when they see him. Yeah.
So if they didn't actually sound so good, what's all the literature about them getting shoes?
That's a pasuk in Hosea. Right. In Amos. Hosea. Perfect, yeah. Look.
So
Amos. Yeah, Amos. It's Amos. Separate Amos. That's Haftorah. The Haftorah is the read for them. It says Hashloshah Pisei Saba Brother Shabena. What if Amichrami Ketzav Tzedek? In Pshat, it's not talking about the brothers in Yosef. It's not about what they're doing wrong in their society. You can prove it from Perichet. The drash adds to that. It's a beautiful drash. The piyut of Asar Harugim Achud. That's a drash. It's a beautiful drash thing. Why were the 10 martyrs? The 10 martyrs is by Cheney and Bar Kokhba Revolt. According to Chazal, they were punished because of Sinat Achim. Before you get punished, you have to have a warning, don't you? Don't you make him Azirim? Where were the Golem warned about Sinat Achim? How could God punish them for Sinat Achim if they weren't warned? They were warned. Where were they warned? That's why God gave us the story of Rishi Yosef and his brothers. That's a classic case of Sinat Achim and Sinat Chinam. And the pun is behind that. You should have learned from that story. That's why don't we bring a series in for a Korban Chatat? Remember, Chatat Tzibor, every time the Am Yisrael brings a Chatat, a Korban Tzibor, series in Mechal Chatat. Ramban explains why. Because of Avachet and Mechalat Yosef. It's a classic example of Sinat Achim, which has great Havamir. No. It's good, but it's not Pshat Amos. Pshat Amos is that generation. Now, Amos is talking about, the next line is, Ish Vavid Yechol Anara. That's Yehudan and what do you call it? Yehudan Tamar.
Yeah. So anytime anyone refers to the Mishra Yosef, according to the Spoonie, it's the faith of the causing of...
Yeah, yeah. Now, what the drama behind it, and the beauty is that don't say the brothers would probably never have done it. Remember the backing off all that, let's kill him. Oh, let's let him die. Oh, let's tell him. They're backing up all the... There's a big difference saying, I want to kill the guy, as opposed to actually pulling the trigger. Just watch a movie. It's easy to say, I want to kill somebody, but to actually go and do it, it's so hard to pull the trigger. And someone's going to give in. It probably wouldn't have happened. But when you talk about it, you follow? It happens. That's the hashkacha behind it. In other words, they caused it through their hatred of the brother. So God did it His way. But at least that's such a good story. And remember, then it also explains what Yosef is up to. Yosef, remember, was sent by his... What's he think? He was sent by his father. As soon as he gets there, they take him, throw him in the pit. And he thinks that they were behind being sold. So Yosef might think that the family, that he's unchosen. Understand?
You said Yosef wouldn't have thought, no, that he was trying. They were trying to sell him.
But yeah, let's say Yosef was sold him. Then his father sent him. So maybe it's like, doesn't the story start like the Akedah? Remember, it says, Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov calls Yosef, and he says, Hineni. Maybe it's another Akedah story. And Yaakov, unwillingly, right, just like Abraham had to do to Ishmael, and almost had to do to Yitzchak, and what they end up having a case of, Yaakov has died. Unfortunately, God doesn't want Rachel. He never wanted Rachel in the beginning. God's pro Leah. And God decides... That's why when they come without Binyamin, it only proves his point. Binyamin's also gone. He's old enough to travel. Why isn't Binyamin with the brothers? So what's Yosef think? We're the unwanted children. And that explains why he doesn't write home. Because he thinks he's nifty. He's out of the process.
And once he's king of Egypt, he can go wherever he wants.
He could, but so he thinks, I'm not supposed to write home. I'm my own wife now. God doesn't want me. He fears God, but he's not the chosen family. That's them. But when does he wake up? When the brothers come and bow down, then what's he remember? The dreams he thought they were forgotten. That were just a dream. Then he realized, oh my gosh, that was Nevoah. And he knocks himself on that. What's he realized? What's the meaning of the dream? It wasn't Bechira, it was Bechora. It's my job. I'm the leader. And we're all chosen. All of us are chosen.
Why would Yaakov have the Halamina? I think that's only going to be Yosef.
Why wouldn't he have the Havamina? I think Bnei Rachel. Atem yedatem kishnam yadali ishti. Remember that? In Parsha Vayechi? We thought so? What? Yeah. Definitely not the Pnei Rachim. He never wanted Mary Lane in the first place. So then I recommend a song. But shnam yadali ishti. His wife is Rachel. That's what he wanted. Rachel is his basher. What?
This is part of going to Esau, he puts him in the back.
That's right, he cares about them more than anything else. Remember, Vesh, the vault, and the Yamin. Okay, got it? And that's why he's so broken. And that's why he doesn't want to let go of Binyamin, maybe Binyamin. So maybe just Binyamin, once gone. But he's sure that Yaakov's, Yosef's dream is what's so deep about it. That's what's so cool about it. Yosef's dream is we're all chosen. Even the B'nai HaShpachot, remember? And then Yosef's job is to unite the family. His job is to bring the brothers back together again. He's not out to get the brothers. He wants to get them to redeem themselves by putting them in the same situation where they can... he puts them in a situation where they give up their lives to save the brother. And once they've done that, they can talk to their brother again. They can do it. Otherwise, he can never look at him in the face. You understand how he's helping them out by putting them through? He's giving them an opportunity to redeem themselves. In real life, not saying we're sorry, but actually doing something to show they really have remorse. Okay, we have to stop here because we're a little bit too late. But that's how we sort of fit. I mean, there's a little more things in Bereshit. I told you next 2 weeks I'm not going to be here because I have a trip to America. This is like recruiting. This is, have to be teachers probably. I know Rabbi Waxman is in America. Everyone's
in Waxman.
Yeah. So I'm joining the group. So have a good 2 weeks. And we've got the real learning going to be fun.
We'll pick up and take our...